Hey, everybody. Let's see if we can do better. That last hour of radio was nightmarish. But I expect a caller coming in. So let's see if we can make that happen. You know what? I like this song, but I don't think it's going to do it for me. I need something with a heart. God damn it. I need something like, I don't know, Gary Glitter. How about, I didn't know I loved you till I saw you rock and roll. Oh my God, there's a live performance. He's wearing a very glittery suit and like platform heel shoes. This is crazy. I've never seen this guy dancing around before. He's got very big thighs. Oh, look at this. Got a call. Let's see what happens. Caller, you're on the line.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Going all right. I just wanted to sound test a little bit.
Well, great. Well, I already started, so we are... But, you know, sound test.
Okay.
Sound test.
How does this sound right here?
Pretty good. You have to talk a little more. Just, tell me a tale.
Mostly what I want to know is if you can hear the refrigerator or not when I'm not talking.
No, I can't hear shit.
Okay, that's good.
I cannot hear shit except your voice, which sounds great.
Awesome. Well, I have not just my voice.
Oh. Go on.
So, we needed to come up with an alias.
Uh-huh.
And I had suggested Codette.
I was thinking Jennifer Garner from Alias.
Jennifer Garner from Alias. So, do you want her to maybe Alias as a...
No. Jennifer Garner from Alias is the full title.
Alias is my alias?
Yeah. No, Jennifer Garner from Alias.
Jennifer Garner from Alias.
Mm-hmm.
So, why don't you talk into the iPad
about...
We're trying to figure out how loud you need to talk.
Okay.
Just so we hear... That's great. You guys sound great.
Okay. Awesome.
Whatever system is happening over there, I'm just going to imagine that it's professional... And it's well set up because it's working great.
Well, at least between the two of us, we have one complete set of clothes.
Well, that's good. Does that mean one of you is wearing a shirt and no pants?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
You know what? Theater of the mind. We'll leave it up to the listeners to decide which of those situations is acceptable.
Who's doing what? And, our Codette or Jennifer Garner from Alias, which do you want to go with, by the way?
I'm okay with either.
I think you should pick your own fake name, though.
But you're not supposed to do that.
Oh.
That's, like, against the, like, nickname rules, is you not pick your own nickname.
Well, I think you get to pick your own name.
Should I just look and see if there's some kind of, like, you know, alias generator or something?
Sure.
On the internet?
Like, I mean, there's a thing where, like, the Secret Service always picks the code name for the president.
Yeah.
Because, like, the president would always, you know, every president would pick something like Eagle or Hawk or something else.
Okay.
And so the Secret Service is always like, no. Like, Barack Obama is the professor.
Okay. That makes sense. More like the nutty professor, right? Thanks, Obamacare.
Play the professor here, though, so that won't work for me.
That's true.
Yeah, but I'm past the point of alias right now.
That'd be like if I was okay. Like, my alias will be Ian.
And my alias will be Peter.
This won't be confusing.
That's right.
Okay, I have a random fake name generator, but you do have to make a couple decisions.
Okay.
Gender, you can pick male, female, or random.
I'll pick female.
Okay. Hashtag not all men. So right now the name set is set to American, And it says, these name sets apply to this country, colon, American Hispanic. Which aren't countries, but there you go. So I guess you could get like a Luis or a Nadine.
Linguistic, like, regions, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You can also pick a country from basically what looks to me to be like all the countries, and then two for Cyprus.
Two for Cyprus.
Yeah, there's an anglicized and Greek Cyprus, I guess. Very important that those aren't the same.
Yeah, I think I'd want to probably stay away from any, is it Cypriot?
Cypriot or something?
Cypriot, yeah.
Let's just call them shitty. We just know.
Stay away from that.
Gonna stay off Cypriot Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's click that random name generator.
Okay, let's see what we get. Well, this is weird. This gives you also, this gives you a lot. Okay, so your name is Mary W. Martinez. It gives you a full address, which is 3974 Farm Meadow Drive, Nashville, Tennessee. It gives you a mother's maiden name, which is Hicks. Bad news, you're 41. You are, but you are a Pisces. You have a website, notebookpublisher.com. So this is pretty thought. I can't tell if now I'm looking at just an ad or I'm looking at like the name.
You wander into like an FBI, you know, server or something, and this is a witness protection program.
I know.
Oh my god! And also, you
Mary, your mom's maiden name will be Hicks, and you will live in Tennessee.
Mary is pretty boring for an alias, I will say.
This also gives you a fake visa number with expiration in CVV2, but here's the best parts. You currently work for a company called Lawnscape Garden Maintenance as an explosives worker.
So, I like the idea that the FBI has placed, like, the witness protection program is like, you know what you have never done before? Explosives. No one will look for you as an explosives worker.
I didn't exploding kittens, though, so...
I have some bad news for you. It looks like you are 5'4 and 208.8 pounds.
Oh, that's
bigger lady.
That's no good.
Your blood type's A negative. And you own I don't know what vehicle you currently own, but this gives you a purple 2007 Acura MDX.
That's not so bad. I gotta haul your explosives around in something, and if it blows up by mistake, then no big deal.
Hackers are kind of...
Well, okay, let's do this. Let's just try... Oh, I can set an age range, too. I think we should go back.
Let's go back to Cypriot Hill.
Do a Cypriot name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anglicized, not Greek, though. We don't want Eustace R. Dewo.
Yeah, no, let's not... I don't want to start any... Oh, my God. There are so many countries. Oh, God. There's, like, different regions in, France and stuff.
I'm kind of curious about Cyprus.
I need to just start back at the beginning because I blew it. All right. Here we go. Female. And we are going to country. Is that where it was? Yeah. Cyprus. Anglicized. Let's see what we get. Now you're Winnie K. Williams.
Okay.
Winnie Williams. You're 5'5", 189, so you've slimmed down and got taller. You work for a company called the Serendipity Dip as a log grader. Your car is 3 years newer. It's a Mercury Mountaineer.
Okay.
And your favorite color is red.
Winnie Williams. That's very close to Wendy Williams.
That is awfully close.
I guess I did it, though.
Okay, you'll do that.
Me.
All right.
Me.
You know, while we're at it, I mean, Ian, we might as well go for you.
Sure.
So do you want to be male, female, or rando?
I'll go with male, so we just get the other half.
Great. And then, do you have a country of preference?
I would like to be from Yemen.
Not on here.
Oh, damn.
The last on the list is Uruguay.
Uruguay?
No, Uruguay.
Uruguay. Let's see.
There's a Poland. There's a Brazil. There's a Slovenia.
Mm. Ooh, I'd like to be from Slovenia.
Who wouldn't? I like
Slovenians once.
How were they? Horrible?
I thought they were kind of horrible at first, but then I like kind of got to understand their perspective. They were mad because the Russians weren't doing any work, so they decided not to do any work, so I understood.
All right. Well, Joel L. Matthews. Your birthday is September 20th, 1984. You're 31.
Awesome.
You are 6'3 and 140 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
So a little bit of a beanpole. You work for Eden Lawn Service as a passenger service agent. That sounds like you're just a hitman.
Yeah, that's a made up. Why do I work for a lawn service as a passenger service agent?
I don't know. And
like, who are the passengers in a lawn service? Here's what I think it is. Here's what our lawn service is. What's it called?
Hang on. Eden Lawn Service.
Okay, here's what I think it is. I think what we have is we have the kind of company where if you have a giant lawn, I mean giant, like a Marseille giant,
mm-hmm.
We take it on the riding mower, but we put a little carriage behind it. And my job is to coordinate the little carriage that goes behind the riding mower.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're investigating the grounds to make sure all the blades of grass are even, you know, my job is to make sure that the carriage is hooked up properly.
Yeah, I guess.
Right, and you look at logs or the logs.
Yeah. And your old identity, you blew things up. All of, you know, so far we're 3 for 3 on sort of landscape kind of adjacent jobs.
So when this program like places people in jobs where they have to spend a lot of time outside.
Yeah, this is true. Maybe I mean,
kind of like if you're trying to have people keep a low profile, it seems like inside job is a number one thing of like, you work in an office cubicle.
Yeah, not where just anyone could drive by and be like, hey, isn't that that guy who told everyone I murdered somebody?
Everybody's like a school maintenance worker where they have to be in a basement next to the boiler.
Yeah, just in case they want to throw you in there like Freddy.
Right. Well, that way it's just that you can never be you know, some, not someone driving by won't go like, hey, I know that guy.
True.
No one drives by the boiler in the basement.
I do have good news for you. You drive a car called a 2005 Toyota Opa, which pretty much looks like a minivan. It's a right-hand drive, which, like, sometimes I try to feel like I accept things of other cultures, but when I look at a right-hand drive, like the steering wheel's on the right, I just almost immediately get car sick. It just like, looks unnatural.
I'm looking up this car right now.
Yeah,
are you car sickness?
Oh, yeah, I get car sick. Oh, boy.
Did you say OPA? Oh my god.
Yeah, OPA. Just like you would think.
It's the El Camino of Toyota Camrys.
Yeah, it's like a futuristic El Camino. Like if Demolition Man had El Caminos.
It's like, what it really kind of looks like too, is it looks like someone really is resisting getting a minivan.
Yes.
Yeah, like a flat minivan.
Yeah.
It also kind of looks like a fat Subaru.
Yeah.
Like a Subaru that ate too many donuts.
Yeah, it's like if someone was so... they just needed a van, but they didn't want to get one, so they're like, well, at least for the first... when I'm driving through a tunnel at 30 miles an hour, if someone from the side of the tunnel sees me emerge from it, there will be a half second where they're like, that's not a van, that's a car. And then they'll see it's a van. But I need that half second.
By the time I'm gone, they'll realize, hey, that was a van.
That son of a bitch was in a van.
I knew it. I knew he was a van driver.
Well, should I make one for
me? He was a vandal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Jenna's giving me a look that doesn't translate to podcasts. She doesn't quite get that this is an audio medium.
I was just making note of the fact that he made a pun.
Yeah. Just noting the pun. Sometimes that's all you can do. That's the only outlet. I'm going to make myself a name here. I'm going to be a male American Polish guy. So, guys, I'd like to introduce you to me. I'm Gary Sotelo. My MasterCard is 5394-4181-153-19573. Ooh, I'm a cartographer.
What the hell? So which lawn company do you work for?
It's called Network Air. I don't think I work on lawns. Maybe I plan out lawns.
You got a much better job.
Yeah, I think so.
So you do photography for some kind of airline?
Maybe. My preferred browser is Mozilla.
Jeez. Do you think that the witness protection program is like trying to just eliminate every possible, you know, trace back to you? It's like, oh, I know Johnny Two Tones loves Safari.
Yeah, maybe.
We have a browser.
Well, this guy likes Mozilla. It can't be him.
Right.
He's off the hook.
He was never an explorer guy.
Yeah, that's the hardcore interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 6'2 and 188 pounds.
Okay, so you're like, you're the first one who's like kind of weight height proportional.
Yeah, I think I'm probably a trim 188.1.
Whereas Winnie Williams here is like big, and I am just a beanpole.
We have Fat Warwick Davis, and then we have a scarecrow who I don't think they make belts with enough holes.
We have Jack Skellington and Otho is what we have.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite color is blue, and I drive a 2007 Volkswagen Polo.
I'm going to have to see what this car looks like.
I have a feeling it's going to look like a Golf. But probably because those are just sports that I know that Volkswagens use.
Oh, since it is sports time, do you have your sports music?
I was listening to some sports music right before you got here, but now that you mention it, let me pull some of that up. Have you guys actually ever seen a Gary Glitter video?
I've seen part of one because it was on like a VH1, like Where Are They Now?
Yeah.
Gary Glitter, he's the leader of the...
It got right into all the child pornography stuff.
I was going to say, is he in hell?
I think he did die.
Yeah. Can you guys hear this music, I'm wondering? Or does it just sound like nothing?
It sounds like nothing.
Okay. Well, we're listening to Leader of the Gang, parentheses, I Am. And he looks like...
I Am! Bang, bang! I lead the gang!
He's flanked by saxophonists. And he looks like a football player from the future in platform shoes. And like bondage. Space bondage.
So he looks like he should be playing like Mutant League football.
Absolutely. And his hair is like Elvis. If Elvis had his hair and then wore an Elvis wig on top of his hair.
So it's like the pompadour of all... It's the pompadour of pompadours. It's the Jesus Christ of...
Yeah, it's like if pompadours had stories, this is a four-story.
A four-story pompadour.
So you had like a sports thing then?
That's right.
For me?
We have a sports report.
Okay.
We went to a sporting event over the weekend.
Oh my god, what was it?
In the kickball league that I have played in a little bit. kickball for adults. From gather most, it's like most kickball leagues in that it is really probably more of like a drinking club, yes, where you also go at bat once in a while and kick a ball.
This is what I want. I played in a rec volleyball league, and we only drank drinks one time out of like two seasons of volleyball.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely not how this goes.
No, this is not an appropriate sport.
I think some people who had like four or five drinks in a game.
Probably, yeah. And that was actually, like, it was not even the regular crew of people who, you know, like, have good cohesion. It was a whole bunch of substitutes. but still, alcohol is consumed, so, now, good time.
So you can drink during the game.
Yeah, we totally drink during the game.
How does this work?
When we go to the dugout, well, like, everyone brings beers. You know, you bring, like, a 12-pack or whatever. I mean, like, I didn't bring any beers this time because I just, like, forgot or whatever, and, you know, time was kind of tight or whatever. But typically I'd bring, like, I don't know, like, maybe, like, a 12-pack of Coors or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we're at bat, we sit in the dugout and drink, and we don't take the beers on the, you know...
On the field. Out.
Yeah, on the field.
You can't take, like, a roadie with you out to the right field or whatever.
No, we're supposed to be subtle about it, but at the same time, like, I mean, there are, like, referees or whatever who are, you know...
Yeah, empires.
The only thing they care about is, like, that we don't drink out of glass.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But, I mean, aside from that, it's... Yeah.
So they pretty much turn a blind eye to it. They're just like, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Now,
actually, a lot of the like team names like incorporate alcohol into the name as well.
Sure, the Drunken Fist Fighters.
I remember playing against one team called the Alcoholics.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
the DU Riders.
Yeah, that's my motorcycle. Well, my bicycle gang.
Yes.
We are the DU Riders. We hate bikes, but we've got no choice.
It's a thing that I've always thought of, like, because which is slightly better than the neighborhood I used to live in.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people who are riding bikes who have clearly not ridden bikes for a long time.
Oh, and yeah.
As far as DU Rider.
Yeah, you can usually... Here's the dead giveaway to me is it's an older dude, usually in a leather jacket. That's the thing that always tips it for me, is I'm like, ain't nobody like, I'm gonna ride my bike to work for health, but I'm gonna throw on my fucking leather jacket.
Like, leather's the worst thing you could wear when riding a bicycle.
Yeah, I think so. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense. And you can tell too in the summer, especially, because they're wearing that jacket and then they're like, oh, when you're on a bike, it's like not like a motorcycle where it's super windy. You're not going nearly as fast.
You're not going fast enough to need that. And if you fall off the bike, you're not going to get like a serious road rash.
No.
Usually not going fast enough. You're much more likely to sort of tip over slightly and fall down.
I was going to say.
And break your arm that way.
Yeah, like at a stoplight or something. They have to stop and then they just fall over.
Yep.
I think my mistake, so I played in the volleyball, but it was indoor, you know, and it's like a rec center. So you couldn't like bring beers or, you know, it's not like I could just be chomping on a cigar the whole time.
Like chomping on a cigar as you're playing volleyball.
Yeah. Whereas if I think I was playing beach volleyball, it would be much more like, whatever, I'm outside. The world is outside right now.
Do you think if you were playing beach volleyball, like you would chomp on a cigar while you were playing or just while you were sort of in the reserve spot?
I think I would just buy the cigar, declare myself the coach, because I'd be like, well, I have the cigar that I'm chomping on. Clearly that's a position of authority. You know, I'm the sergeant of this game. And then just yell at people.
So I thought like that... Did the rec league, did it kind of work like it used to work in gym class, where you sort of had to rotate around?
Yeah, you had
eventually
Yeah, so everyone has to serve. And then it was also, it was a co-ed league. And the rule of the co-ed league was that if more than one person hit the ball on your side, so if you did like a bump set spike, at least one of the people involved in that trio had to be a woman. Which I thought was really dumb, because frankly, a lot of the female players were much better than the male players.
Like the female players had all played some volleyball before.
Yes. Yeah, like they perhaps played in school or whatever, whereas like, I don't think there were some male players who were good, but the only reason they were good is they were just tall enough to hit it over the net. You know, they could jump and hit it from 5 feet over the net or whatever.
Well, you told me like the team that was full of firefighters, like they were pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's also because they probably had the time to just like set up a net and practice.
Yeah, because they're fucking around. Because they're like, well, what are we going to do? Go out on every call just because some old broad fell down? Give me a break. Yeah, she fell down. They'll pick her up. End of discussion.
She's got to learn to get up on her own. This is America.
Yeah. Bootstrappers.
But Jen's league is co-ed as well.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, league. You just have to cut that out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's a fake name, too. These are all, who knows? Could be Gary Glitter on the phone, for all we know.
It's definitely not that, but it's kind of the rules, like, for male and females. I think it has to alternate at bat or at kick. And there has to be, I think, like, between the pitcher and the catcher, one has to be female, and there has to be, like, an even ratio of men and women in the infield as well as the outfield. Or if it's uneven, then it has to favor women.
Okay. Yeah, there's all these rules.
They just want like a good distribution of women around the field.
See, I'm down with that. That makes sense to me. The problem with the volleyball is like, so you would just be hitting it, and maybe somebody hits it, and then I hit it over, and we wouldn't even think about it. We wouldn't even realize like, oh, fuck, that was two guys.
Yeah, that seems like a little harder to sort of think about as it's happening.
Yeah, it's so in the moment.
And it's like it seems like every time, like, if you hit it once, you have to kind of hope that you're just going to hit it straight over, because the second you hit, you're like, okay, the woman's got to go get it.
Yeah, right. Or like, if it could be coming towards you, but you would have to run away from the ball, because you're like, right. Another two dudes hit it. I can't hit this, even if it's right in my face.
You have to drop it. I mean, like, we had a similar rule, like, when I played in a Frisbee league, like an Ultimate Frisbee league.
Yeah.
Like, the rules were much more simplified in that there was, you had seven people on the field, at least two of them had to be female.
Two had to have dreadlocks.
Yeah. That was minimum. you had to touch the Frisbee before you could score a point.
Oh, okay. So at least
much more clear than anything else.
Well, and it's like a little, you know, not that Ultimate Frisbee is slow, but there's a lot more field to cover, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
like, there's an opportunity to stop yourself and be like, oh shit, okay, I have to throw it to a lady, you know what I mean? Or a guy, or whatever.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, if you got two on the field, it's like, the rules are much more straightforward.
Yeah.
As you do. And it's not as if, like, if you threw it all the way down the field, you'd be like, okay, we just have to get a woman down here. But usually that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, you would pick that up eventually, so.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, for me, I mean, I can't imagine enjoying or joining an all-men's league of anything ever again, because I'm so bad at sports. And it's not, like, usually the women are much better than I am at sports. But I just feel like there's a thing of, like, there's some kind of cultural thing of, like, if it's a co-ed league, that's, like, the least serious version.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's that a lot of the co-ed league, it's much easier to just say, you know, we're here to drink and hang out and, you know, try to throw a ball at someone's head.
This is the thing. Like, that's what I want. You're living my dream. Because that's what I wanted, was to have a league that was just like, we showed up drunk, you know, I took a couple dives for things, and then we went to a bar.
that's pretty much how it is. I mean, you go to a bar. We usually go to a bar afterward.
Of course, you have to. I want to have a jam box in the dugout and dance during the times I'm not playing.
Yeah, we have like an amp in the dugout.
Perfect. See? This is how it needs to go.
I mean, like, this is the first time I've been there. And there's a bunch of people that, even though they're all substitutes, they've played, like, lots of them played a couple of games. And they have a little box score thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like no one knew how to do the box score. Like, they'd been playing this team for a whole time and no one knew how to really keep the little track of what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely do not.
Is that like...
And I kind of... That's how I knew it was a drinking league and not really that serious, because like no one really knew how the paperwork, like there's one thing of paperwork, and out of eight people, none of them knew how to do it.
Yeah.
Like a couple knew how to do it, but they're like kind of like, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
No one's like, listen, I got the paperwork. Here we go.
That'd be like if I went bowling and, you know, the power went out, or, you know, the TV's, the scoring's not working. And they're like, well, we could hand score this. I'd be like, or we could just continue bowling and just not worry about it.
Right. But if you joined a bowling league, eventually you'd be like, someone had like, oh, okay, out of the eight people in this game, one person has to know how to hand score.
I don't. Well, it's not going to be me.
That's one thing if it's not you, but it's like if you have a league and there's two teams playing each other, one of them would figure that out.
Yeah, I think I'd just be like, hey, listen, just don't hit any strikes or spares. That just makes it complicated.
We're just going to count a spare as like 10 and a strike will be like 15.
Yeah, and then let's just be done.
And then we'll be done.
And no, you know, don't do these things in a row, please.
Win.
If the opposing team gets three strikes, you just have to show them your dick.
There it is.
Everyone just sees it and laughs.
If someone gets three strikes in a row, what you're saying is that they get to pick whose genitals they want to see?
Yeah.
Same gender. Like, you can't just say, I want to see all the ladies naked. It's like, I want to see this dude naked.
No, yeah, you just politely adjourn to the bathroom. And, you know, all the sames look at sames. And then come back.
So, Winnie, do you have a reaction to this? So, Winnie, as not offering legal advice, what would you say to this nudity sharing or genital sharing bowling league?
I think there should probably be waivers signed ahead of time.
Well, it's not...
So what would a waiver look like?
It'd be a drawing of a penis, and then it's just like, sign the balls if you want.
You understand this, like, you could just say at the top, this is what you're getting into.
It's an ink pad, and you put your dick on it, and then stamp the paper with
probably just like a very broad disclaimer of, you know, any kind of liability for,
like, it'd have to outline some of the rules about this, like, aside from the bowling rules, like,
yeah,
you have to show them your dick, but they don't get to touch it.
No, yeah, no touching, no putting your dick in a bowling ball.
No putting your dick in someone else's bowling ball. You can put your dick in your own bowling ball.
If you own it.
Yeah, if you own it. You can't put you definitely can't put your dick in the sort of the lanes bowling balls.
No, that's why you gotta own a bowling ball, because you don't know whose dick's been in there, and also you want to put your dick in there.
Well, I'm pretty sure I know whose dick has been in there. It's the guy who works behind the counter.
Just slowly walks after they close and puts his penis in one hole on each ball.
I mean, what would you do if you were opening a bowling alley and no one was there? See?
I think I'd sit in the closet and tape the door shut and then, you know, use the shoe spray in there until I died.
Just sort of suffocate yourself with the Lysol
shoe spray.
Yeah, the first ever bowling alley shoe spray death.
So you're saying you wouldn't spend the time fucking all the balls first? Because if you're going to die, you know, you might as well go out having fucked every ball in the alley.
I mean, I don't know if I'd have the energy, because if I was working at the bowling alley, I'd be getting so many babes. So, I think it'd just be like, oh, God, I don't even have the stamina left.
You'd just be like, I can't handle this anymore. I can't handle all these balls after all these ladies.
Yeah, this is too sexy in this alley. I'm just gonna...
Too much sex happening. So there's the rule about no touching, yeah. Right?
Yep.
No, you can't photograph it.
Yeah, you gotta leave your phone on the table.
So yeah, you gotta leave your phone on the table. Let's see, and there's no, you can't set up like a weird mirror setup so that way the phone is like on a timer, and then it takes a picture of a mirror, which takes a picture of another mirror, which takes a picture of my dick.
I mean, now I feel like the waiver is getting really specific.
That's how the law works, right, Whitney?
I'd probably just go with like a pretty broad disclaimer, just, you know, that covers all possible weird photography scenarios or...
Like, just photography is banned, regardless of how many mirrors are set up?
Yeah. I would just make it pretty broad, because a lot of things could probably happen in that situation, so...
I do think that the penis shower should get, like, you know, a 30-second head start in case they, you know, if they want to chub up a little, I think that's okay.
I think that the person getting shown gets to pick any theme music.
Oh, yeah.
For the chubbing up.
Sure, if they want to make a whole dance.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is, like, they get to pick the, they get to pick whatever it is, which is, I know what I would pick in this bowling league. I think that might be good. I would make them chub themselves up to Everybody Hurts by R.E.M.
Oh, my God.
The chub required?
Well, no. That's part of why I'm trying to prevent the chubbing up, because I want to see this. If I've gotten 3 strikes in a row, I want to see this dick as it is.
If I ever open...
I want to see my
authentic dick.
I want to see my vanquished enemy. Not this proud warrior. I want it to hang its head as it goes to the gallows.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't want to see, like, this phenomenal penis, because then it's like, oh, well, we won it bowling, but... Eh.
Yeah, exactly.
If I ever opened a bar, I would definitely want to consult you on, like, a jukebox setting where I'm like, all right, I just want everyone to be sad. And then, like, what songs, you know... Everybody Hurts, It's Been a While, all these songs where everyone's just like, Jesus Christ, my life.
Oh, my God. Like the House Where Nobody Lives by Tom Waits.
Yeah. Just songs that'll maybe not necessarily clear a place out, but make people just be like, I need to slam this beer and then another one.
Yeah, that actually might be a good business plan.
Yeah.
Like that already... just completely changes. Sometimes, like, there's places that seem to have really inappropriate playlists. Like, I go rock climbing at this rock gym.
Yeah.
And every now and then on Sunday, one of the regular employees, like, she's not there. Like, she has a really, like, playlist that's very heavy on what you would expect for a rock climbing gym to have. But
We Will Rock You, Rock You Like a Hurricane, Rock and Roll Part 2.
Yep. But mostly, like, a lot of electronic dance music kind of stuff.
Okay. I could live with that.
Dubstep kind of things.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, that fits. But I show up today, and since she's not there, there's a lot more hip-hop. So you get, like, Today Was a Good Day by Ice Cube.
Uh-huh.
Which is normally good, but Johnny Cash, terrible rock climbing music.
Yeah.
Like, not good. Nirvana's All Apologies, the unplugged version.
Yes, that's exactly perfect for the kind of music that you're like, it's hard to specify what kind of music should and should not be played in any scenario, but that's a good example of, like, we can all hear that and be like, okay, no, come on.
That does not work.
No.
It doesn't get me excited. It doesn't get me think, I'm gonna climb this thing.
Yeah.
oh, I need to have like some contemplative things about my, you know, contemplative time about my relationships.
I should make some apologies as soon as I'm done up here.
Exactly. It's not saying, you know, I really want to grab onto these pieces of plastic and pretend like I'm outside.
I would have thought a rock gym, just because I guess I don't know the kind of people, but to my mind, the people who are at a rock gym, it would be a lot of like fish or something like that.
Not really. I mean,
yuppies.
It's a lot more yuppies than it is hippie.
Because those people are like out in a van, just climbing up one rock on the side of the road somewhere.
Right. It's a lot. I mean, a lot of yuppies tend to go there. Like the big thing is that every now and then Groupon comes out with a deal.
Oh.
Lots of people. They climb. They go to climbing exactly once.
Yeah.
And again, they, you know, get a picture of it that becomes part of their online dating profile.
Right.
Show that they're active.
Yeah, you know they're real.
And they make it usually about, I mean, some of them, like when they do the Groupon thing, they go climbing, and usually they make it just about high enough to the wall, like higher than they could jump, but not much higher than, like, maybe their body height, and that's about it.
Really? Right.
Yeah.
Like where you could fall off and be fine.
Yeah, you could just kind of hop. It's like if you hopped off the top of like a, like the top of a very small staircase, or like those
car.
Yeah, like if you kind of were standing on top of the back of a truck.
Or jumped off the swings.
Yeah, it's about that high. But most of the time, sometimes like the Groupon people will come in and they have their standard climbing uniform of skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And tight shirt, and it's like you picked exactly the wrong thing to try and climb up this.
Yeah, you go up in your gold Speedo and you're like, fucking amateurs.
Right. But it's on, like, the women at least yoga pants, and that seems to be the sort of all-purpose outfit for everything, but that at least makes sense. It's like, okay, you've planned for this a little bit.
That seems to be the pants of choice for every activity. Like, waitresses wear the pants, the black pants, you know, employees of stores wear them. Like, it's just whatever's going on, you're going for a jog. Uh-oh, we lost our call, you guys. Right when I was talking about some problems I had. Not sending you feedback, Skype. Go fuck yourself. Let's see if I can make this happen. Oh, I've lost internet connectivity. Oh my god, it's me. Oh my god. Peter, look at that girl's butt. Oh my god, Becky, look at my butt. I'm just going to try and Google the word butt to see if I can Google. My brother texted me that we lost our connection. Which is probably good, because, like, for all he knows, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm just chatting, just talking about yoga pants still. Turn this off and turn it back on. This is what you do, man. You cycle the power. We're just getting into it, too. The rock gym. We will rock you like a hurricane. Rocky theme song. Rockin' Robin. Rock around the clock. There we go. Let's reconnect. He said, is it your end? I'm calling him now. I'm calling him now with my future phone.
Hey!
We're back.
Awesome.
That was me. My internet was broken. But it's fixed. Maybe. Are you there? Row. Is this the end of the great team up of radio? Because that just happened. That just happened. This is the wrong network computer. I looked up butt. But the first thing that comes up is butt Wikipedia. Butt may refer to lots of different things. Buttocks, often known as butt. Butt is a unit in English brewery cast. That's the second thing. Hey, are you
back?
I'm back.
Awesome.
While we were off, I discovered there's a magazine called Butt.
A magazine called Butt?
Yeah, it's a quarterly magazine for gay men. Edited by a guy named Gert Junkers, which is my new fake name.
Ah, that's what we should have done, is we should have just looked up the, like, there should be, like, the random porn name generator. That's the better.
There has to be.
Kelly Campson.
Oh, the, first pet and the street name?
Yep.
Kelly Campson. Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good porn name.
It is a pretty good one.
Mine sucks. It's like Bill 32nd Avenue.
I know. I just went by the street, like the first name street I lived on, which was in college, which made me Bill Edinburgh.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's a very specific kind of porn name.
Edinburgh?
Yeah.
I just entered my name into this porn star name generator and got Spanky Hard.
That's actually a pretty good radio alias, though.
Ian, yours is Lex with two X's, last name Peachy Butt.
Lex Peachy Butt.
And then I'll just put in Wilma Williams. And
it's
a
Winnie.
Oh, Winnie. Oh, that's good that we're switching, because you were Daddy Fuzzy Nuts, which doesn't really make... That doesn't work. Winnie Williams is... Tanya Rug Muncher. That's not appropriate. That's not okay.
but Winnie was going to tell you about her stats in the kickball.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, back to sports.
Yep.
Your stats were so much better, though.
Well, I think you have to start off with your stats and give it some context. Sports talk with Winnie Williams.
Well, okay, so the contrast are our first time experiences. Ian's first time at bat, he made
Ian,
a run.
Ian played today.
He played on Friday, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, so he
That's
made
right.
a run.
When I showed up, a lot of the team was entirely substitutes because... a lot of the team was going to see Garth Brooks play.
Oh, sure. That happens all the time.
Apparently, it's like, and this is probably something that some of you on the social medias may have seen, but Garth Brooks was playing a show or two in Phoenix.
Yes.
And then because the demand was so high, he played like another 4 or 8 million shows.
Damn. Hey, man, everybody likes that handicapped child running track.
That's right.
Apparently he puts on a good show, I guess, in addition to people liking the songs.
He's like the Kiss of country music, but without the makeup or the flames.
I mean, I'd probably go see him, because I feel like what would happen is I would go and be like, I know two songs, but then halfway through I'd be like, oh, that's a Garth Brooks song? All right, I gotcha.
Then maybe that... But he would have the good downer song for your bar, like The Thunder Rolls is all about domestic abuse.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
So, that would be the good downer. Yeah.
Okay, so you got...
It darkens the whole mood.
Are we doing... We're doing Ian stats.
Yeah, so Ian made a run, and I think he got someone out at second.
I did.
That was in the second game that we played. In my first game, I think it was my first at bat a few months ago, I was first pushed into the dirt and I skinned up my leg pretty bad.
Pushed into the dirt.
But I made it to first base.
Okay.
Wait, how did you get pushed? Who pushed the dirt?
The catcher, like, I tried to bunt the ball, and the catcher went in front of me, like, across the path I was, running. And she was shorter than me, so, you know, she had a lower center of gravity, and she was able to push me over. it took, like, a month, probably, maybe 6 weeks for my leg to heal. It was pretty gross.
God.
But I made it to first base, and... because that obviously was, not allowed. And then I think on the way to second base, they threw the ball at me to get me, you know, to get me out. But they actually hit me in the head.
Oh my god. Beanball.
That's supposed to mean that I actually get the base, but there was so much, I guess, like chaos at that moment, that I didn't even get the base.
Now, hold on a second. Doesn't, kickball is played with like a dodgeball kind of ball, right?
Yes.
And it's pitched at like a rolling height?
Yeah.
So in order to hit you in the head, that's like a pretty bad fuck up.
It's like if you're trying to get someone out, you can throw the ball at them. You don't have to tag them with it or tag the base.
Oh, I see.
But if you throw the head, then they get the base automatically. Like, they're safe.
So you can just hit someone with the ball and then they're out. You don't have to, like, do the shit.
You don't have to, like, you don't have to be touching the ball at the moment that it hits them.
Yes, thank you. I don't really know enough about how regular baseball works to be like, as opposed to regular baseball, where here's how it works.
Baseball.
In regular baseball, you can't throw the baseball at the runner.
Right.
But in kickball, you throw the ball at the runner.
Okay. Okay, so you can just hit them with the ball, and that's like a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So it's like, yeah, so that it makes it a little easier, like, so that way you don't have to be as good at fielding the ball.
Right.
And also because it's harder to throw the kickball fast enough to get to a base runner.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it, like, the game a little more, it makes fielding a little more manageable.
Okay. Okay. It makes it possible.
Mm-hmm. But Jen's debut was a little rough.
Yeah, that was my first time. Although, this game that we played on Friday, I caught the ball for the very first time.
Well, well, well. So you did some fielding.
It was important to catch the ball because she was the catcher.
Yes.
Okay.
Out.
I see.
I mean, the catcher in kickball usually doesn't have, like, it mostly just spends a lot of time throwing the ball back to the pitcher.
Right, right. You just kind of sit there. Oh. It rolls to you. You throw it back. You make.
Right.
Are there like balls?
There's no rule.
In kickball, are there like, you know, okay, I'm going to throw a one. That's a fastball. I'm going to put down a two. That's a curve. Is that even a thing?
Yes.
How do you throw a curveball?
Well, I was catching, like, the pitcher, like, kind of tossed a curveball and the guy. I just, like, completely missed it. Like, spun around sort of, like, cartoon style, you know?
That's pretty awesome.
It put, like, English on it.
Yeah, there was, like, I can't remember, but he was, like, a kind of the big show-offy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was sort of the, I think, was he the team captain or something like that?
He might have been the team captain.
And so he was coming up, and he was, like, sort of doing the pointing toward the outfield. Like, he was ready to go, and then someone threw it with a little curve, and he just completely kicked. Tried to kick it as hard as he could.
And, like, kicked air.
And just kicked air and sort of spun around.
This is why it's important for people to be drunk, I think, because you don't just get, like, you know, you don't get, like, these fun, crazy misses unless you have drunk people. Like, no one's going to do a full rotation. But when you've got 9 beers in you, it's like, I might not even make it to the plate.
It seemed like in the second game, the base running was a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
Than it was in the first game for some people.
The base running?
The base running.
Hmm, yeah.
Like, you know, because it'd be really hard, like, you know, if you had one Coors Light in you, or, like, two, you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to run the base. But if you had three or four, you're just like, I'm so full of liquid. I need to pee by the time I get to second.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's like, it's, you know what it is? I think that this is what they should do in these leagues. So, like, in this volleyball league, they had a champion. And basically, the champion of the co-ed casual league was sort of encouraged to go like move up to the next level, you know, to the regular one. But then like what they really should have done is just been like, no, no, you guys all have to have like 3 beers before you can start playing.
If you're the champion and you're playing somebody who's much lower ranked than you, like the difference in ranking is how many beers you have to have before you start.
I think so.
If you're the number, yeah, like if you're the number one ranked team and you're playing the number 6 ranked team, you have to have like 5 more beers than whatever the number 6 ranked team has.
Exactly.
So the number 6 ranked has 4 beers coming in. That means you've got to have 9 beers.
And that means our team would have had like steroids and adrenaline.
your team would have to get like a beach Olympian beach volleyball player.
Yeah, we would. I don't even know. Our team was so bad. I don't think we won any games.
They would need they would need quaaludes. They would need to be anesthetized.
Yeah.
Like just take a whole. Don't get to drink like alcoholic drinks. They get to drink a pint of NyQuil.
Yeah, I mean they should be like robo tripping while we're like, I don't know, enforced rest and like we have a nutritionist and all this shit. Like we should have whoever manages Tiger Woods now just doing all of our shit. And then
you have like an oxygen chamber, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, we would show up like for these games, and they put, you know, like 45 minutes on the clock because they're like, well, it has to be over at 45 so the next game can happen. We would, usually there'd be like 30 minutes left on the clock by the time we were done.
You just gave up that, like the mercy rule came in?
Yeah, I mean, no, it was just they beat us so fast. Because like, volleyball can go on forever because it's kind of like, if I remember right, it's like tennis where you have to win by 2 or something like that. So it can really, you could drag it out if the teams are pretty even. It could take forever, but it didn't take very long for us. That did not happen for us.
You have to be like, because you always have to be within 2 for that to really matter.
Yeah, and like, I mean, we were at a level where if I served and it went over, I got really excited. I was completely unprepared to hit it back because it went over, and then I was like, we won.
There's no way they're going to hit it back.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even think about it. I was like, it's over. That's as far ahead as I thought.
Did you, like, when you saw the ball sort of sailing over the net?
Yeah.
And, like, it was just high enough to have that sort of, like, the theme from The Natural. It was like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, this is the greatest moment in sports history right now.
You imagine?
Uh-oh, I lost you again. Oh, you're back. You're back. I lost you for a second.
Okay. But since you just talked about tennis, Winnie was also a tennis player in high school.
How was that?
You know, I mean, I was, I had a pretty good amount of natural ability, I would say, because I didn't take lessons from a young age like a lot of the other players did.
Sure.
But I started playing, like, I think, like, the summer before high school or something like that.
Sure.
I was able to, you know, play varsity or whatever, and I think, Joel probably wants me to talk about one particular game, though.
Okay.
It was my last game when I was... So in the middle of high school, I moved from Stockton, California to Henderson, Nevada. As my last game in Stockton. I was playing at my last... Someone who was calling my serves out, because we called around lines. Mm-hmm. It was sort of the honor system. But this person was being dishonorable.
Mm-hmm.
So I started hitting her with my serves.
Mm-hmm. Now, in tennis, that's not, like, unsanctioned, right? Like, you can do that.
They can't get out of the way fast enough. That's their problem.
Right. Like, if they're in the area where it can go and it hits them, That's in, right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Well, if it hits them, and then, of course, you know, they aren't going to return it because it hit them, so then that's a point.
Right. Is that why they usually stand so far away? Because they're like, well, they're just going to hit me with it?
Well, you know, I mean, like in the pros or whatever you see, I mean, they're skilled at hitting back, you know, like 100 mile an hour serves or whatever, so that's not going to happen. But, I mean, you know, theoretically, like, if someone wasn't paying attention or they weren't skilled enough, they could definitely get hit with the ball.
I like that. I like the idea of that. I also like the idea of bringing that kind of game to, like, a charity tennis tournament. Just getting aggressive as fuck.
It's something like a raising money for breast cancer or, like, childhood leukemia.
Yeah, and, like, the ref is like, stop trying to hit the other people, and you're like, hey, Pops, relax. These fucking bald kids still get their money. Who cares?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have done that if my opponent hadn't been, you know, awful. So
yeah,
if she deserved it.
If she had been a little more honest, like if she just called more things in, you know, it wouldn't be necessary.
I had to put her in her place, though.
Well, what's great about it is it's like she was cheating, and what you were doing was winning, you know, playing aggressive and dirty, but totally legal. So it's great. It's like great in every angle.
That, and Winnie is certainly familiar with that, being an attorney. So what might be a good thing to do. Do you have any legal questions from your helpful snow fans?
You know, I don't have a legal question, but I do have a hypothetical for you guys that I came up with this week that I think is pretty good. Okay. So, as you may or may not know, my partner, Poon Master Flex, is a big fan of her cat.
And her cat. We've seen some of the pictures on Instagram. I did want to ask, how did the cat podcast work out?
Terrible. the cat just ran in the room, though, and Flex is standing here as well, with her hand on her hip, disapproving.
Of you or the cat?
Of me. The cat has run into its little slot on the entertainment center. It likes to sit in this little space in the entertainment center. I don't know why. She just kind of hides in there for a while. So anyway, here's the hypothetical I came up with, because, you know, she very much loves this cat. They're like buddies. It's all, you know, they're like lovers. The cat is meowing and opening the door. What? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's just that we can hear the cat.
Oh, you can. So, here's the hypothetical I came up with. It's, you know, someone invents a machine that can interpret cats' brains, like what they think. Flex just indicated to me what I'm about to say by pointing at her butthole. So then this scientist invents this machine. And it can tell you what a cat is thinking. Now, it doesn't, like, do text, you know, it's not like, hello, my name is Cat, and da-da-da-da. But it kind of can take a lot of info and dump it out in, like, rudimentary feelings. And it takes an expert to kind of read the feelings and whatever. But, you know, everyone kind of swears by this technology. It's accurate, it's good, it's working. So here's what happens. We take the cat in. And to get the machine, because we're like, well, this person can tell us what will make this cat happy. Like, what does this cat really want? Because maybe the cat is like, I just want to, you know, if you could leave the dryer on and I can sit on top of it, that would just improve my life 39%. And we're like, well, that's easily done. So we go there and the guy is like, you know, this cat's very happy. It's very nice and everything. Did get a little bit of an unusual result. The result that I got here, and this is going to sound strange, and I don't want you to feel pressured to do anything you don't want to do. The result here is that your cat would be much happier for the rest of its life if one time you took a chopstick and stuck it in its ass about 1 inch.
Okay.
So the question, the hypothetical is, the hypothetical I asked her is, would you do that, A? And then B, if you decided this was something to do, would you do it or would I do it?
Well, I thought there was, well, the other hypothetical I have is, it's like, the C is, you know, do you have to buy, like, a special chopstick for this? Or can you just use, like, you know, if you've gone to sushi, just take one of the wooden chopsticks home? Like, you just take an extra set of chopsticks?
Yeah, no, it's just a regular chopstick. Just, that's, you know, any old chopstick will do.
I don't think that's going to be a wooden chopstick.
The thing, like, you know, if you just, they're saying, like, if you just grab it from the sushi place, like, the little broken ones.
That's going to be, like, a plastic chopstick.
Sure.
Like the metal chopsticks, like that,
yeah.
That Japanese restaurant that our mom likes in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, you could sand it down, a wooden one. You could, you know, smooth it.
Like, yeah, just so, 'cause you don't want a splinter in there. I assume that's not what the cat's looking for.
No, no, it's one inch of chopstick in its butt. One time, you know, and it would sit. It's not like you have to force it. It's not like you have to wrap the cat in a towel and do it. If you
that
started,
was my next, like, if the cat is like, you know, if this is what the cat really wants, and so it's like, if you said, like, I'm going to come at you with this chopstick. One thing I would want to ask the cat is, like, really? It's not like some kind of trick, like when you rub a cat's belly and then it turns on you and starts biting the crap out of your hand.
No, this is legit. Like, that's the machine. That's why the machine is there. Because, like, the cat doesn't, you know, it can't, it's not sophisticated enough to lie.
Okay, so, like, the machine is kind of able to get into the cat's brain.
Yeah.
And, like, it's getting into the cat's conscious brain. So it's not like the cat unconsciously wants the chopstick in its ass.
No, like, if the cat was standing in the room and you got a chopstick out, it would, you know, turn towards you and just have its tail up. And if you put the chopstick in there, it would just stand there and make no indications.
It wouldn't, like, back into the chopstick and kind of help you out.
No, it would just, you know, it'd be completely passive. But here was the other question I asked her, because she was like, no, absolutely not. This is horrible. I don't even want to talk about this. But then I was like, what if one day you just came home and then the cat was being very loving and kind and all that stuff, would you then be, like, mad at me because I clearly put the chopstick in its butt?
I mean, you could just, normally with most cats, you could just say that you dosed it with catnip or something.
See, but our cat doesn't like catnip, so that doesn't work.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that seems to make the idea that the cat likes a chopstick in its butt much more plausible, because it doesn't like drugs.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, let's do it this way. If I went to the doctor and they had this machine for humans and it was like, oh my God, this will tell you, you know, what would make you really happy? And they were like, and everyone swore by this. This was an accepted, you know, it was an app on the iPhone you could use. And, like, you just spit on your iPhone and then it knows. And it was like, listen, they call me into an office because they're like, this is really unusual. And we just didn't want to be insensitive about it. But if you put a chopstick about 1 inch into your butt one time, it's going to change your life. I would do it. I would totally do it.
So would you put the chops, would you do it to yourself, or would you have Poon Master Flex do it?
Oh, I would do it myself.
You just wouldn't want her to get involved?
I mean, I don't think it would be pleasant for her to put a chopstick 1 inch into my butt.
So would you tell her about this result afterwards, or would you just, like, just kind of do it and then not say anything?
I think I would just do it, because I don't think I would debate about it very long, because I'd be like, how long are you going to think about, you know, if they're like, you'll be 40% happier if you one time put a chopstick 1 inch in your butt, I'd be like, well, that's a pretty good risk reward. I'm willing to accept the possibility that it won't work.
Because I guess the downside if it doesn't work is that you've had a chopstick in your butt.
Don't doctors do this?
Yeah, like, you know, if you get a colonoscopy or whatever, right? I mean, that's basically a chopstick in the butt.
Yeah, but couldn't I get, like, a nurse's aide to do this?
Yeah, you totally could. I mean, you could take the doctor, or you could take the cat to the vet, I guess.
Yeah, like, if the cat, like, that's the other part of it. Like, if the cat said, I just need the chopstick in my butt, it doesn't really matter who does it.
Right.
Then you just take it to the vet and be like, yeah, I just took the, you know, I took this, I don't know if the cat... Does the cat have an alias, too?
No, you can just call her Sicily.
Sicily. So Sicily, you just be like, I just took Sicily to the vet for her shots, and she's fine.
Yeah, right.
Or, Sicily goes to the vet, and the vet's like, yeah, we'll just take Sicily in the back. She'll be fine. And you just slide to the vet, like, an extra $20.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
And then, you know, Poonmaster Flex is none the wiser.
Yeah. But she would know, because then she'd be real cuddly and stuff. Like, it would have to be, right? It would have to be a kind of, like...
That's the genius of it. You do it at the vet, and the vet's like, hey, yeah, we're trying, you know, that's a new... new immunization. It kind of makes them a little loopy.
It's a new. It makes them happy forever.
It makes them happy. Like, it's like, well, it makes them a little happier. But if, you know, if something else happens, let us know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sort of like, yeah, this tends to sort of really even out their hormones. So it's kind of a side effect. It's not really what we intended, but
yeah.
It just makes them happier.
Yeah. 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 These are possibilities. So here's the question, though. You got, if you had a cat, would you put a chopstick in its butt?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a lot happier.
What about you, Winnie?
It's weird, but I mean, if that's what it wants, then, you know, it sounds like something I could mentally call a medical procedure.
Yeah. Yeah, right? You could be like, I don't know. How much, you know, that's how they get their temperature taken anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that seems close enough to things that actually happen that I could not feel weird about it.
Yeah. Thank you. That was I didn't have a legal question, but that was my hypothetical.
Well, I don't see what is Poonmaster's answer as to what exactly is the problem with this? I mean, I don't quite get it.
I mean, I could ask, you know, it seems to be mostly like, I don't want to put a chapstick in my cat's butt. Which, when you put it that way, is not super unreasonable.
Does it have to be a chopstick? Like, could it be some kind of other medical device, like if it was a thermometer?
You know, I don't think it's the device that's her problem. I think it's the inserting into a butt. And, like, you know, when you have a cat, it's like a constant dance of, like, how much you're thinking of. Are you thinking about its butthole or not? You know, because it's right there.
It wants you to think about its butthole.
Yeah, and she'll, like, the cat will put its butthole in Cassie's face.
And so it's like, if it just, maybe it really does want a chopstick in its butt.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was like, maybe this is why she's showing us her butt. This is where it all came from. So I was like, why is she showing us her butt all the time? I don't know. Did I lose you again? Are you dead? Uh-oh. It's gone dark. Zero dark 30. Oh, there they go. That was the sound of losing my religion, trying to keep up with you, but I don't know if I can spew it. Oh no. See if we can reconnect. That was a good song, huh? Oh, my brother just texted me, gone dark. I wonder if he heard what I said. Or if it's just like, yeah. We just think the same because we're the same guy. Come and knock on our phone. We'll be calling up you.
Are
you
back?
Oh, we're back.
Yay!
In action.
Whatever, this will all just get smoothed out in post-production.
Oh, yeah, we do a lot of post-production.
Have you taken an episode and, like, cut out any large bit of it ever?
No.
No? Actually, what I wanted to say is that Winnie has also become a fan of the show.
Okay. I did get a tweet that was like she had listened to something about, about when I had a roach on me.
Yeah.
And then
Winnie also has some freakouts about bugs.
Yeah, I recently had a roach situation. It's dealt with now, but it was...
It's dealt with. I mean, do you ever really deal with a roach situation, though?
Well, there was a hole in my closet when I moved in, like a hole in the drywall. And I didn't really think it was like a big deal. I was just like... And then at some point more recently, when it started raining more here, like the bugs come inside.
Yes.
So like these large like water bugs through the hole.
Oh.
So we had the hole sealed up, and I haven't seen one since the hole's been sealed up. So it seems like it's dealt with.
Well, that's good. I just, you know, I've lived mostly in garden level apartments. I could tell you, you know, I just had another horrifying bug experience. So I bought this cat a water fountain, and it's like just a little waterfall that it drinks from. The reason being that it's like obsessed with drinking from the tap, the water.
Yeah, you talked about it throwing up on the floor.
Oh, perfect. So here's another great thing about this fountain is for some reason when a cat drinks from a fountain, it's... the water and the whole walls of it turn into slime. It's just got this thick slime, and like it has a little filter in it. And one time the water was just overflowing onto the floor, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And it turned out that what was happening is the slime from the cat was blocking the filter. So I had to rinse it out. It was disgusting. So then, you know, I've tried to clean it out. So twice now I've, you know, unplugged it and like cleaned it out in the sink. And the first time I did it, giant spider living in the fountain, like underneath it. Yeah, it was huge. And it was one of those horrible situations where you're like, I almost touched this like 10 times before I realized it was there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I murdered it immediately. And then Friday... I went to clean the fountain again, and I was just cleaning it out, and didn't even look, and then another giant spider. So I, you know, rinsed it out and mushed it and all that stuff, and then I was like, God damn, this cat. And this cat, we've kind of put it on an incentive program where when it finds a bug, we give it a quarter. And then, but if it misses a bug or doesn't alert us to a bug that it should know it's there, it loses a quarter. So, you know, she's moved back and forth between having $0 to... She should have, like, $4, but she has, like, $1. Because when I cleaned this, I found the spider. That was -1. I then found a dead beetle in it as well. That's -1. And I found a spider egg sack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so which is -50.
One bug, or does it count as, like, all, like thousands of bugs? I mean... This cat is going to have, like, student loan debt, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cat owes me, like, $40 at this point. Because it was crazy. I was just like, this is... When the one spider was under there, I guess I should have been aware when I went to clean the second time. But I kind of thought, like, oh, it's just a fluke. Fucking, you know, who knows what's in the mind of a spider. But then it was under... A second one was under there. An egg sack?
Yeah... That's fortunate you got to it.
You know, I just don't, I don't like how spiders are designed to basically, everything they do is awful.
Well, they can make their own little homes wherever they are out of their butt.
Yeah, and it's like, how do their babies come out? It's not like little spiderlings come out. It's like, oh, I make this gelatinous weird orb and then it's full of a bajillion babies. What's a good number of babies for me as a spider to have at once? I don't know, 1,000?
It's like they make it look really adorable on Charlotte's Web, and they try really hard.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
But then it still looks pretty creepy.
Yeah, mush it.
And like the thing where they, all the little babies put all the little silk strands out and then float away.
Yeah, and you're just like, no, smash them.
You just want to like get like some kind of fan and put it right up where the spiders are all flying away. And not a fan blowing them in the opposite direction, but sucking them all in.
I like how in that movie, there's a spider web. What's clearly a spider web spelling out a word. And the farmer's like, you know what's the most likely explanation from this? Probably this pig made it somehow.
Pig did it.
As unlikely as it is that a spider would spell a word in a web, why would you not think that first before you were like, it's probably this pig?
They don't want to confront the reality that there could be a super intelligent spider.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're just like, oh God, I can't even deal with that. Let's just assume it's a pig.
Like, what would you do if you lifted up the fountain and then it said, like, you know, Cecily belongs to me? Would you have to show that to Poon Master and Flex and be like, look, we gotta talk?
I'd show her that. I'd put the cat and the fountain in a bag and throw it in a river.
You can be together forever now.
Yeah. You know what? You guys can have each other.
That's just at that point. Like, if it just said, like, Cecily is mine, you just show it to the Poon Master Flex and be like, look, we can't negotiate with this anymore.
I don't know how to talk to them. I can't make a web to send a message back.
So what if the spider wants you to put a chopstick in its butt?
In the spider's butt?
Yeah.
I feel like that's just mashing a spider.
You have to sort of shave it down a little bit.
Like it wants me to put like a needle in its butthole?
Sure. Or maybe it's like a big spider, like a you know, it's like my cousin's coming, my cousin's a tarantula.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he wants to, if you put the toothpick, or maybe it could be like a toothpick or something, you sort of okay. Blunt it. You put the toothpick in its butt, it will be ecstatically happy, and that will get my wife off my back, and that will make me ecstatically happy. Would you do it?
What am I getting out of this?
The spider will leave its egg sac outside. It knows, it'll say, like, I will not crawl under your mouth while you're sleeping and make sure none of my relatives do.
That sounds like it's a problem, actually.
Yeah.
Repeat.
Like, this sounds like a threat to me.
Here's what the spider's offering. The spider's offering to be complete insect removal, but invisible. You'll never see it, but it's going to be sort of an insect assassin.
Okay. Yes. I would absolutely do that.
Like, you just be like spider, and you turn around, and it's just gone.
Okay.
It'll drop down from the ceiling like Batman, scoop up the bug, and then just draw it up to the ceiling before you can eat, and then you turn around, and it's just gone.
Or like Spider-Man?
Or not! Like Spider-Man.
Does this include other spiders?
Well, you really wouldn't. You'd rather not know. I mean, the spider's like, look, sometimes I gotta get help if it's like a big, big bug.
No, I mean, does it kill other spiders?
It has its spider family, so it wants to keep the spider keep things in the family. If another spider family comes in, they're encroaching on territory, so yeah, it'll deal with it.
Well, here would be the thing. I'd be like, if your babies all go flying off and don't stay here, then yes. But if you're going to have 1,000 spiders living here, no.
They wouldn't be living there. They'd be living, like, outside. They have to have, like, a reserve force in case, like, a whole bunch of cockroaches come in.
No, see, I don't... Here's the thing, is the spiders are the ones that are the problem. Like, we have the occasional beetle that's just walking slowly across the floor, and I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Because you can kind of put that, like, on a newspaper and turn it around and...
It's super slow. It's not, like, horrifying looking. It doesn't leave sacks of eggs.
That you know about.
That I know of, and that's fine. So, yeah, like, the other bugs, you know, I don't know, flies, beetles, and all that stuff. I would rather have flies and beetles than one spider.
So you wouldn't put the toothpick in the tarantula's butt, is what you're saying?
I think it would have to come up with a stronger offer. Like, it would have to... Here's what it would have to do. I think I would go for it if the spider was like, I will... You know, it's like the Tony Soprano spiders. And it's like, if you do this thing for me, I will tell them that this house is off limits.
You'll tell all the spiders?
Yeah. You do not go in this house. This is not a house that spiders go in.
It seems like you'd have to tell all the other bugs, too.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, the other bugs I'm not worried about. I mean, of course, no one likes the centipedes. No one likes the earwigs.
Our space now.
Yeah, I feel like getting rid of the spiders would be the vastest improvement.
So if it was like, this would become the spider-free zone.
Exactly.
Then you would stick the toothpick in a tarantula's butt.
Whatever the opposite of the highway to the danger zone is, that's what it would be.
Sort of the light rail to the safety zone.
Yeah, the safety corridor.
Light rail to the safety corridor.
Exactly.
The light rail to the safety ocean.
There we go.
Yeah, so I always think the danger zone is probably like a landmass of some kind.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're at like an hour and a half. I think we did it.
Yay!
Did you have other stuff? Did you have anything that we didn't cover? Sports-wise?
I don't think so.
Excellent. Well, you know,
we're good there.
Next time you have more sports, by all means, call back in. We'll go over some stats. You know, I'll be able to offer some helpful coaching advice, of course.
Of course.
I'm always available for, you know, advice about how many push-ups are good and like whether or not you should be going full speed or half speed. Hint, full speed.
Always full speed.
Always. All right.
If you could go full speed, that would be great. I think maybe we should do a preview that perhaps next time we come back.
Yeah.
Winnie had a few things from our Santa Fe episode.
Oh, some discussion points.
Some discussion points, mostly about how if the Fantastic Four's uniforms would actually get rid of menstruation. Menses, or as they would say.
Is that something we talked about?
Yes.
It was.
Seems like a good thing for the two of us to really discuss. We seem like the number one most qualified people to have that discussion.
That was a pretty good discussion.
Well, that's good.
Well, Winnie had commented in the same episode we wound up discussing European soccer, which we were much less qualified to discuss, so...
God, yeah, that was almost like, come up with a list of things that you have no business talking about, and then do an hour show on it. And we did.
And we did.
Because we could do anything.
She's going to have comments next time she comes back to the show.
Oh, yeah, I would love to do our next one, and you can, you know, just comments, critiques, problems, praise. That would work.
And you could help us out with them.
Money. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Okay.
I'm open and available. All right. Well, thank you guys for calling.
Right.
We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye.